Yeah. I don't know. It's all a nightmare.
Yes. Yeah, it is all a nightmare. That is correct. Should we keep the nightmare at bay?
I mean,
just for a little bit.
Yeah, I suppose. The horrors persist, yet so do I.
Yeah, there's still probably going to be some nightmares in this one because it is an episode of this podcast.
It is Dragon Age.
Yeah.
Hey, we do Pugmire once.
Once, yeah. I have a note right now that is open and it says Bionicle Episode 2.
Yeah.
There's nothing else in that note, but it's there. It's created.
That's a step. That counts as progress.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe someday.
Those episodes got kind of dark too, though.
They did. There was cultural appropriation, and then there is, you know, a little bit about the great big spirit in the sky dying because of evil malevolent forces, and, you know.
Yeah.
But the fun Legos were fun to play with, and they came in little orbs.
And the dogs are really cute.
The dogs are cute.
Like, rigid class hierarchies.
And their weird plastic currency that just makes me feel bad about the ocean.
Yeah. You're making some future dog rich. Is that better?
I don't think so.
Or maybe you're causing inflation, I guess.
Possibly causing dog inflation. Well, they don't have good idea of numbers, right? Like, it's all general chunks, so.
Right, but if there's just more in circulation. Them not being aware of the effects of inflation don't insulate them from the actual effects of that inflation.
Yeah, we never did talk about this is just coming to me now, but we never talked about, is there like some dog lord who just has an entire Scrooge McDuck pit filled with frisbees? Like, that frisbee feels like the top level of chunk of plastic.
I would assume so.
That
is a good chunk of plastic. I don't know what you would put higher than that.
Especially like intact frisbee. That feels that feels good.
Yeah.
Intact frisbee. And they have thumbs, so they can throw it too. So,
right.
You know, full circle.
Yep, we did make sure that happened. Yeah, man, I'm starting to remember that episode now.
Yeah.
The like implications of the creation of those critters.
Yeah, we need to go back to the what was it, the Monarchies of Mao?
Monarchies of Mao,
Yeah. And whatever the hell was going on with that pirate frog lizard.
Yeah.
Who has a gun? Hello, and welcome to Codex. It's a casual lore podcast. My name is Phil.
I am Logan.
And today's episode is probably three episodes, and we're going to try to smush it into two, but I'll do my best. Today, we are mostly talking about... It's going to be more. There are at least three episodes. Today's episode is technically originally on Navara, the city-state turned country in Thedas, the Dragon Age system. We are continuing with BioWare month into December, and who knows if this keeps up, probably into January too. But before we talk about Navara, the Dragon Age calendar, and also their weird views on death, you got a bright spot for me?
I beat the Corrupted Gauntlet. I'm just gonna keep rolling with that one.
Steal that one? All right.
Steal that one. That I actually beat the second half, and now I can turn my little crystalline dog red, and that is pretty neat.
Oh, I did forget that you got the pet. That's pretty nice.
I got the pet, which is, like heartbreaking to some people, I'm sure.
That's exciting.
Got the pet at like 30 KC on the regular, and now I have 1 KC of the one kill count on Corrupted. And so I can turn him red. That's pretty neat.
It's pretty neat.
I barely beat it. I had, I don't know, maybe two or three more shots to deal 20 damage before I fell the chip damage and just eked it out. So,
oh, nice. It was a nail biter too.
Even better. Yeah. I knew when I had like five shots left, I was just like, okay, well, I don't know what's going to happen, but one of us is going to be dead in about seven ticks. Like, I don't know what else. It was one of the, like when you're playing Magic and you're just like, man, this game's over in 10 turns for sure. I don't know who's winning, but like,
but we will know.
The end is sealed, and it's just who's going to draw it first at this point.
Amazing.
What do you got?
My bright spot. I had several of them lined up before this episode, and now that we are recording, I have completely forgotten all of them. So,
yep.
My bright spot is on a whim, because it is the festive times. As a Wisconsin born boy, most of my holidays have usually started with crackers and cheese platters and some summer sausage, no matter the season. And as an adult, I have kind of moved beyond that, and now we've elevated to charcuterie. However, okay, the one thing that I do miss and have an enormous craving for every once in a while is good old pub cheese spread.
Yeah.
And got myself
like your Merck's or
yeah, sadly,
what brand did you end up with here?
Sadly, we do not have that out here in New England.
Okay.
I used to be able to find
what
it.
And slop are you passing off as cheese?
It's Vermont cheese, so it's
okay.
It's more hoity-toity and a little bit more communist, I think. Just
in like
based,
a good way or a bad way?
I think just proximity to Bernie Sanders, probably.
Okay.
But it's Cabot, I think, which is
cheese
brand. Fine. But
yeah,
it's your classic. It's so here's the thing: the Cabot spreadable port wine cheese, which is my bright spot, is very good, and I enjoy it a lot. I spread it on my sleeves of Ritz crackers and feel bad about it later that day. But the cheese is white. Like it's white spreadable and red port wine, and I feel like it needs to be a fluorescent yellow, otherwise it's not the real experience.
Well, you're the one buying cheese spread with port wine in it. I don't know what you're expecting from them. I'm sure they have like just your like high vis goo, if that's what you're looking for. Or do they not carry it?
I don't think so. My favorite of the Merck stuff was like bright yellow fake cheddar color with little spirals of red in it. That's the stuff. And I tried to replicate it with what Cabot has, but it is white cheese, and it feels like a crime that it is that color and not yellow. Still good though. Still good.
Maybe I'll have to get some dry ice and like to airmail you some rash cheese spread.
Oh yeah.
Satiate your needs here.
Make sure it's got Bucky Badger on it. That's all I need.
That's how you know it's a good cheese.
Yeah. I'll be back in Wisconsin in like 3 weeks, so I will be satisfied with cheese curds, both fried and not, and also port wine spread.
Even Quick Trip fries their cheese curds now. They just recently made that change.
I think about Culver's at least once a week and how I don't have one out here.
I like to have Culver's almost once a week, I feel like.
Yep. I would have to drive all the way to Ohio, and it's almost been worth it a few times.
Yeah. I'm like, man, I could go 15 minutes in multiple different directions and hit different Culver's.
That's heaven right there. But we're not talking about cheese.
Or heaven, I would imagine.
Well, hey, next episode. Huh? Today we're talking about Navarra, which is a nation, previously a city state. Yeah, it's a spot in the middle of the Dragon Age world. I sent you two maps in our chat here, and one of them, the top one, which has country names on all the different regions of Thedas, is a fan created map. But just for your benefit here, Navarra is smack dab in the center of everything.
Yeah.
They are positioned on the water there, and they are surrounded by Orlais, Tevinter, and the Starkhaven Accord, which is mostly just a mass of city-states. And then the second map is the same map, but a topographical one, so you can kind of get a sense of what the lay of the land is, so to speak. We will talk more about the map in a little bit, because before we talk about Navarra, we're going to talk about a lot of time and a lot of different places in Dragon Age in order to situate ourselves. So first, we have to make a slight diversion into the calendars of Dragon Age.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It's happening.
This is the preamble I warned you about.
Wow. I thought you promised to never do this.
Yep. I think I promised that literally 3 weeks ago, and here we are.
I know. All right. I'm gonna pour another cup of coffee in anticipation of this nonsense.
That's a good idea. So there are technically three different calendars in Dragon Age. There is the Tevinter Imperial calendar, there is the Elven calendar, and there is the kind of most common calendar, which is the Chantry calendar. And that's the one that has like the Dragon Age. Like when you see dates in the game or in like codex entries and stuff, it is the Chantry calendar. It is the church calendar, and it is time that is measured in ages. So each age lasts 100 years. So
okay.
The current age is the Dragon Age, and that is the ninth since the founding of the Chantry, which marks the beginning of the Chantry calendar. Anything prior to the Chantry calendar is just simply referred to as the Ancient Era, and it is kind of denoted with negative numbers. There is no year zero, there is only year one divine, and there is negative one ancient, and then it kind of ticks back.
Ooh, that makes my computer science brain itchy.
How so?
No zero. We don't need to spend a whole episode on array addressing. Probably not. And I've been doing a lot of time stuff at work lately.
Oh no.
I'm gonna derail your episode a tiny bit, but all like right. Trying to do it ties into like our year 2038.
Yeah.
So like a way to do math on time is to just like normalize everything to one starting instant. Which for them is one, I guess.
Yeah. 1:01 is how it's denoted.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's fine, I guess. But when you take one away from one, you have to go to negative one in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like if I'm writing an application to convert our calendar into this nonsense, I have to like account for that manually every time. That's the part that's itchy to me. It's like there's an extra line that now has to exist to turn that zero into a negative one or a one, depending on what's happening.
There is a footnote in the Dragon Age calendar, like timeline wiki page, that explains there's a conversion between the Elven to the Imperium to the Chantry calendar system. And there's a footnote that says that these are roughly calculated because in Tevinter and Chantry time, it is 3,000 years, but in Elven time, it is 2,999 years, and we just have to live with that. So yes, they have thought of it, and also they are also mad about it.
Yeah, they're choosing to not engage.
Yes. Yep. So the Chantry calendar it begins in the way that time is depicted is 1:01, and then it always has the name of the age after it, and it's basically duplicated itself. So the one is age one, and then it's year 1 through 99, and then it will tick over to 2 year 1, and then it'll have the name after it. But
do they do 01 or do they just do 1 0 1?
Okay,
good.
So the number 0 does exist, but right, but not year zero.
Slowly here.
Yeah. But so the 1 0 1 starts roughly 170 years after the death of Andraste, who is the prophet of the Maker, and we'll have a whole entire episode about her and the Chantry and all of that separate, because there's a lot going on there. But after those 170 years, a bunch of different cults of Andraste have different missionaries spreading different fractured versions of the Chant of Light, which is the prime religious text of the Andrastean faith. And then some guy named Emperor Cordialis Dracon the First starts a wide-spreading war, and he wages war across most of Thedas to say, hey, all you people believe similar things, but not the thing I believe, so how about we believe my version of the things, and then we can all work together.
Yeah, definitely some real-world parallels that they may be drawing from.
Yeah, we'll get timeline. To more of those.
Yeah.
He wages war and makes his way through most of what is now known as Orlais in it would be in the southwest of the map that you have. Yep. So he wages war, and this is -3 ancient is when he is doing all of this stuff. He is crowned emperor of Orlais. And he creates the Chantry. So he is the founder of the Orlesian Chantry, which we will talk about later. And then in those next 3 years, after some deliberation and some elections, actually, Alessa of Montsemard is elected the first divine, Justinia the First. And then she becomes the first divine, runs the Chantry, so she is kind of like the Pope figure of the Orlesian Chantry, and because she is the first divine, the first age of Dragon Age is the age of the divine. So it is 101 divine.
Okay, I'm still following you. I'm still a little annoyed about the no zero, but okay. I'm coming around to this system.
Okay. So that's kind of how the system is set up. The years before the foundation of the Chantry, like I said, are referred as ancient. And it goes back as far as -7,600, which is the founding of the Elven Kingdom in Arlathan Forest, which is in the map with Tevinter. It is kind of in that northern section of Tevinter where it borders Antiva. It's kind of a big, lush green forest. It's, at least as far as we know, perhaps the first location where elves are seen, and then they kind of proliferate from there over the course of the next 3,500 years until humans show up on Thedas and go about to ruin everything for everyone and then do a bunch of fighting.
Okay, this might be an annoying question.
Uh-huh.
That -7,000-ish number.
Yep.
Is that something the Chantry recognizes, or is that us on the outside working backwards between these two calendars?
So that's the -7,600 is based on the Elven calendar being kind of converted to the Chantry calendar.
Right.
So, like, so I guess, the Elven calendar starts at zero.
Okay. That's what I was wondering. So, if, like, you went to, like, a Chantry scholar and were like, hey, let's talk about the year -7,236.
Yep.
They would just burn you or something, right? Like, that's...
I think, well, if it's in ancient, they would recognize it. If it's, like, Elven year 300, I think that would probably be a little bit more heretical.
Okay.
There is mention that the Elven calendar is almost exclusively used for like scholarly reasons, because I guess you just have a number that counts up from zero, which is at least useful for useful for timekeeping.
Sure is.
Yeah.
The tough part's picking the zero, though.
Yeah. That is not addressed in any of these. Like, there is the Tevinter Imperium calendar starts at -1,195 ancient, which is the founding of the Tevinter Imperium. But like, why was it that one and not the year before? Like, what caused it to be? Yeah. This is the founding of, especially with something called an Imperium. Like, that feels like there's some stuff going on ahead of that.
And did they consider that year zero, or did they?
Yes. Yep.
Right. Okay.
Yep.
So everyone's using some culturally relevant event as their epoch,
right?
Their inception moment here.
Yep.
And
yep.
Then we're like in out of universe, we would use like accounts of astronomical phenomenon and things like that to try to correlate super disparate calendars. So I wonder if we're getting something like that as well.
Yeah, a little bit.
In universe here.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense.
Volcanic eruptions or blights, perhaps, that you can
somewhat
pinpoint to a time.
So that's kind of a good segue into the next bit here. So that's how the names of the ages are determined. They're not retrospective, which is kind of confusing going through this. The way that it works is that the final year of that particular age, the divine, I guess, sits down and journals a lot about some like portents or omens that are like coming to her attention over that year. And then from that decides what the next epoch will be, like what the next age is going to be called based on the omens that she has seen. And that means that they are named before any of the events that occur in that 100 years happen. So they can be a little bit confusing going back through them.
Yeah, they've lost me again. This is a bad system.
Yeah. Yeah.
That implies some weird things about the nature of foresight, if we assume that their calendar makes any sense. Like either they can see time in blocks, or for some reason the next 5 years is relevant enough to name 100. I don't know. I wonder how you end up with that system, I guess.
Yeah. And there's not really, I didn't see anything at least on why it was decided. Like there's nothing in there that says that
I would just,
like not. Two nines is the most divine of all numbers, so we will only have ages of 99 or anything like that.
Yeah.
It just feels like they picked a number out of a hat because you didn't want to like increment the 1:00 number up by one and have 1:00.
Yeah.
Which I guess is a practical enough reason.
I mean, it's not different than like we ran out of bits. Like we only made it so it can display three numbers and a colon. So this is what we got.
Yeah. All right. So let's run through the ages. All 9 of them. So the first one is called Divine. So the Divine Age. And it is named basically because of the establishment of the Chantry 3 years previously. Some minor things that happened that we've talked about in the past that will come up in some of these ages. So in 120 Divine, the Navarran Accord was signed, which is important because we're talking about Navarra today. And this is the accord between the Inquisition and the Chantry to unite those two under one cause, which established the Chantry's military arm. So this is where the Templar Order is founded. The Inquisition is kind of a separate function of the Chantry. It kind of works outside of the religious precepts to some degree. And they were kind of the mage police up until this point, and then they kind of rolled into the Chantry, became the Templars, or what the Templars are now. And then because of the first blight, which happened slightly before the Divine Age, mages who were previously, the practice of magic was illegal, they were recognized for their value. So the Inquisition became the Templars, and the Circle of Magi was created so that these beautiful weapons against the Blight could be at least put into some control.
I didn't realize that they were that old.
The Chantry or the Templars?
Both, I guess, for that matter.
Yeah, because what we're talking about here, this span of ages is up to where the games are now is about 850 years. So they are quite old in comparison to most of the stuff that's going on. The Grey Wardens do predate them a bit. Grey Wardens are actually, I found out recently, they are pre-Androstian. So they were not originally followers of the Maker and Andraste. They rolled in later. But yeah, I was a little surprised that they were 800 plus years old compared to how it felt in some of the games.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay.
And in the Age of the Divine, you have the second blight occurring, and it kind of runs throughout most of the age. And then the second age is the Glory Age, and that is basically named because of how everyone felt about that 90-year war finally ending. And there's some stuff that happens there, but nothing worth mentioning for us. But it also a 90-year blight. We're getting to the Grey Wardens finally getting into their main power at this point also. The third age of man, is the Towers Age, which is a very funny portent because it's literally when we talked about Emperor Cordelis Drakon the First, when he founded the Chantry, slightly before then, he decided to build the Grand Cathedral in Valroyo, and that is finally completed 200 years later. So it is named the Age of Towers because
one tower. Shouldn't it be the Age of Tower?
Maybe it's two towers. You know, I can't remember if there's steeples or not, but I think this is supposed to be the big church, the Gaudi church. God. Sagrada Familia. Yep.
Okay.
I think this is supposed to be the like giant towering spiraling beautiful church of all time. But yeah, after two centuries, it was completed, and this is the St. Paul's Basilica, I guess, of the Chantry, or at least the Orlesian Chantry, which is still currently called the Chantry. We will get to that in a bit. Also during the Towers Age, we have the third blight, so we've now had three ages with three blights in them, which is always good. But it was defeated quickly because there was a alliance between Orlais and Tevinter. We didn't really talk about this much, but Tevinter was the long, long ago. They landed in Thetis in the negative 3100, and then around negative 1200, the Tevinter Imperium was founded, and it basically, over the course until probably negative 200 or 300 ancient, they spanned most of Thetis. They were the predominant culture that kind of took a bunch of human tribes and kind of like smashed them all together and made this giant Imperium that basically subjugated and did some real bad shit to the elves. And ever since then, with the founding of the Chantry and kind of Cordelis, the emperor, kind of making his way and building out Orlais, Tevinter has been chipped away at this entire time. So there's a little bit of there's a little bit rivalry between Orlais and Tevinter, the two oldest and one of them far older than the other kingdoms of humans. But they have a big old alliance, Orlais and Tevinter, during the third blight, and then almost immediately after the third blight's archdemon is killed, Tevinter turns on Orlais. There's a huge schism in the Chantry faith, and basically it splits from just the Chantry to the Orlesian Chantry and the Tevinter Imperial Chantry. And they have really bad sacrilegious names that you can't actually say, but is important. The Orlesian Chantry, the original Chantry, is the White Divine, and the Tevinter Imperial Chantry has the Black Divine. So real, like, two popes energy.
Yeah, we have a whole full schism going on here.
Yeah, like a real big one. And it's mostly, I can't remember what the actual schism is based upon, but one of the big divides here is that Tevinter is it's a mageocracy. So the ruling body of Tevinter is ruled by mages, and the Templars are more like a police force for the Chantry in like a, they work for the very corrupt kind of mage, magisters that run everything, and Orlais is much more the other way around, where the mages typically are subservient to the Chantry officials as well as the Templar Order.
Got it. Okay. So we have some, like, pretty steep cultural tensions there in the organization.
Yeah, and that big divide is what names the Fourth Age. So that is the Black Age. It's mostly named after the Black Divine, as well as the four, and here we get some more real-world parallels, the four exalted marches from Orlais that attempt to bring Tevinter back under its control. And these are, these are the Crusades.
Okay. How many children did they send this time?
I didn't see any mention of a children's exalted march, but I'm not going to count it out.
Fair enough.
And I think that this is like a combination of rallying troops from all of the nearby towns, and then also it is a religious crusade, and therefore probably rolls in a bunch of peasant people to leave their lands and go fuck off into Tevinter and see what they can do.
Yeah, do a crusade.
And here we go with the timelines, because it's called the Black Age before before the age has begun. They do four of these marches. All of them fail. The fourth ending in the Fifth Age, so 10 years into the Fifth Age, 510 Exalted, which is when it ends. And they name the Fifth Age after the Exalted Marches, so it is the Age, the Exalted Age, which feels like it should be a positive, uplifting thing, but instead it is not. It's just a bunch of murder across the lands, and then also, hey look, the Fourth Blight is here.
By the way. If Crusades weren't your thing, can I interest you in a blight?
Yeah, and so this is the Fourth Blight, and it's kind of rough, generally, because in the previous ones, at least, the Grey Wardens could rely on Orlais and Tevinter putting all of their bullshit aside to ally against the Darkspawn and destroy the giant archdemon. But that doesn't happen, because they're fighting, and also all of their forces have been completely decimated over 110 years of conflict. So the Grey Wardens have to do their stuff mostly by themselves. This is the first time an elven Grey Warden is able to kill the Archdemon, which is kind of good for elf representation. This is also the Blight where they mention that the battle was so long and they killed so many Darkspawn that they were piled 100 feet high, the bodies of the Darkspawn, which is some real good old storytelling.
Yeah, that's some good grim dark nonsense.
Yeah. This is also when Ferelden, the location of most of Dragon Age Origins, is founded. So that's 542 Exalted. So most of that was Orlais-ish, or just kind of like city-states run by their particular tribes, but they rebel and kind of form their own thing there. And also, when we look at the map that I sent you, for the most part, Tevinter owns almost all of like the Antiva area and the Anderfells, and they are slowly like pulling back as the ages go on. The Navara and the Starkhaven Accords area, it's all kind of split between Orlais and Tevinter, but most of them are just their own city-states at this point. Navara doesn't become a nation until a little bit later, and the Starkhaven Accord is simply a combination. It's an agreement between a bunch of city-states. Like, Starkhaven is there, Kirkwall, which is where Dragon Age 2 takes place. Those are all just city-states kind of running their own deal.
Okay. Yeah, these political boundaries definitely indicate some nonsense has transpired.
Yes. Yeah.
So,
and it's a lot more
like vaguely like Eastern European Balkan shapes to them, of them that don't bode well for the next few age over here.
It gets a little messy. Yeah. So the next age is the Age of Steel. And this is the Sixth Age. So this is 601 Steel. And this is mostly due to the murder of Queen Madrigal of Antiva, who in, I think, 598-99 is found in the forest impaled by four swords.
Yikes.
That's pretty messed up. And it's named the Age of Steel for, you know, you're going to need your steel. it's going to be bad out there, guys.
I thought it was like specifically for the swords. I was like, wow.
Pretty really, metal.
Really taking away the focus from the person in that interaction there.
Yeah. So in the Age of Steel, around 630 is when the Qunari establish a foothold in Thedas. So they have finally, they have come from the north, unknown where they have come from, really. But they have come from the north, and they are basically running shop around Deventer, Antiva, Ravane, and a lot of those spots. The that little piece of land that is sticking up in the far north there is where they came from, and that used to be owned by Deventer, and it still has not been reclaimed by them since 630.
So they're mongling about.
Yes. Okay. This the Steel Age is also when dragon hunting really is taken up, and this is when dragons are basically hunted to near extinction. By a particular person we will talk about probably in the next episode.
Ooh, okay. Pin in that one for now.
Yeah. The next age, the seventh age, is the Age of Storm. You're probably about to see.
Dealing Storm. All right. So we're doing, what was that, World War One, I guess?
Yeah.
Ernst Younger, was that? Storm and Steel?
He turns around
Storm
to look
at... Storm of Steel. Yeah, that was the name of the book. Sorry.
Looks at the bookshelf.
Yeah.
I know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, named because the Divine expected a storm of violence. The first Qunari War is still happening, and it finally concludes in a stalemate when, now almost 300 years later, the Orlesian and Deventer chantries put their bullshit aside, and they join forces in the new Exalted March. And they march them to basically the sea and push them back to those islands up there. They are still a threat, but the Qunari have been at least pushed back in the Age of Storm. It is fought to a stalemate, though. It is peace treaty and everything.
No one's happy about this.
Yeah, one's happy about it. And the only, all of the nations, all of the human nations and the Qunari sign the peace treaty. The only country that doesn't is Deventer. So technically, 250 years later, they're still at war with the Qunari over Parvalin.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay. Yeah.
Good vindictive bullshit.
Yeah. More parallels there too.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
So that brings about the eighth age, the Blessed Age.
Ooh. Okay.
Again.
Bit of a turnaround here with any luck.
Yeah. It is named before the age happens, let me remind you.
So are you suggesting that the premonitions were perhaps a little fuzzier this time around?
Perhaps. So it is named the Blessed Age because in 798, 799, the Orlesian emperor, who previously did not have any children and was growing quite old, had twin sons. And that is declared as a good omen because it ends this fear of civil war in Orle. There are heirs. That's great. We can continue with all of this. What a blessed day. Unfortunately.
Until.
Yeah. So the emperor dies in 821, blessed, and was succeeded by one of those sons, a person lovingly referred to as Reville the Mad, which is great.
Yep. Yeah.
Along with a bunch of other things, he starts the second invasion of Ferelden. So kind of takes back that lower bit of the map and actually ends up occupying it for almost 60 years. Also, some real messed up stuff towards the end of his life. He has an entire family murdered, assassinated, and one of them perhaps gets away. And then he spends the rest of his days only being fed by one single cook in his kitchen. He only eats venison and just slowly decays. And then when they found him, when he was dead, his entire bed was surrounded by basically a shark's teeth amount of daggers sticking out of his bed. And he just died there. So he was going a little bit bananas. Because of his failed assassination attempt and perhaps all of the other terrible things he did.
You don't get a moniker like the Mad without at least a little non-chill behavior.
Yeah, it was not great, the things what he did. We will come back to reveal the Mad when we talk about the Pentagas in a bit. But that brings us to
brother number two. What was his?
Oh, I don't
what
know.
What was he doing the whole time?
He probably just died or something.
Yeah.
Dysentery. He got cholera.
Yeah.
Bad stuff. Didn't, fantasy cholera.
Didn't make it across the trail.
No. Poor guy.
Yep.
He's probably really important.
Downriver. Yeah. He probably is. Yeah. Oops. Sorry.
I didn't click on his Wikipedia link. So, yeah.
That's staying blue until next season.
That's another episode sometime later. And that brings us to the titular Dragon Age. Surprise. That's why it's called the Dragon Age. You're in the Dragon Age. They have 50-ish more years of game time until they have to call it something else.
Or change the calendar.
You know what? Based on the beginnings of Dragon Age Inquisition that we talked about before, that is possible. So
maybe it's like a leap age. This one goes to like a leap age.
This is a new one. Yeah.
They gotta sync back up with the other two calendars somehow.
Yeah, all of their festivals are off.
A new epoch. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That makes sense.
We can workshop this.
Yeah. So it was previously planned to be named the Sun Age, which feels like it's sunny and positive and nice. But the reason given by the divine as to why it was going to be the Sun Age is also because of violence. Surprise, surprise. Somehow I don't really get that connection, but I guess Storm and Steel were already taken, so you got to work with what you got.
I mean, there's a lot of words.
Yeah, Sun
they
just
landed
doesn't
on dragon somehow. So is that specifically because of the arch demon in draconic form?
It is. So it's because it was the first sightings of dragons since the Steel Age. So they were run to at least thought of extinction in the Steel Age. And then a couple of dragons came by and kind of messed up the center of the map here across the Free Marches, which is the Free Marches, which is the Starkhaven Accord area, and then some of Navarra and Orlais.
Okay.
Big old dragons came back, so took that as a sign. And now it is called the Dragon Age, also because of dragons and, you know, the upheaval that comes with that. It's going to be a big old change in time, and so far it has proved to be so. Dragon Age Origins and Dragon Age 2 begin around 930 Dragon. Dragon Age Inquisition begins in 941 Dragon. And Dragon Age the Veil Guard begins in 952 Dragon. So we're about halfway through, but it's 20 years between Origin and where Veil Guard is right now. So there's a lot of fucked up stuff happening in 20 years.
Wait. I may have glossed over this or missed this. They do not reset to 901 numbering.
They do
the first year of the Dragon Age. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got yeah. So it's
it. For clarity's sake, we are continuing with on by counting. Got it.
Yep. Yeah. So it'll go to 999, and then it'll roll over to, I guess, 1001.
Gotcha. Okay.
But yeah. So this is the first blight since the Exalted Age, which is age 5. So that's
Oh yeah, we've not talked about a blight for a while here.
Yeah, so that's 350 years. The thought was that the Grey Wardens did such a badass job in the Exalted Age that they killed so many of them that they thought that they might have ended it. But does not seem Alas. To be the case.
Yeah.
There's the fifth blight that happens in the Dragon Age. There is also the Mage Templar War, which shreds the Navara Accord that was established in 120 Divine, which is kind of the global conflict that's taking place in Inquisition. The Inquisition, because of that shredding of the Navara Accord, is what kind of triggers the clause to begin the Inquisition again. So that's kind of where that comes from. And then by 952, the Veil is about to be ripped asunder by Solas, perhaps a dwelling ancient elven god who wants to take care of his previous other ancient elven gods and causes some hijinks because of it. And that is the calendar of Dragon Age. That is where we are right now in Dragon Age land.
What's this episode about again?
So, remember how I said this was maybe going to be two, possibly three episodes?
Remember when I said it would be four?
Yeah. I think okay. We'd still do three, but I think that this is gonna be our episode on the calendar.
All right.
Because we're going to have to come back to some of these dates and everything when we talk about next episode, which is Navara and the Pentagas and kind of the ruling group there. And also at the end of that one will be a fun teaser about Navara and death, because we're as per usual, the thing that I wanted to talk about originally is going to be the third episode, and the previous two are simply preamble to make sure that you understand what's going on and also some fun stuff I found out along the way.
See, you definitely have the mind to play RuneScape.
I don't need to hear that.
Now that we're seven rabbit holes deep, and you're that's like, man, dangerous. I don't even know why I'm getting this seed box. I can't remember what 5 seconds I was trying to save by spending 3 hours to get this seed box, but here we are. I got the damn thing.
Now I have it, and I can explain to you the intricacies of three different calendar systems. And what does that get me? It'll make,
I don't know,
three different mentions of the calendar worthwhile in the next episode, I promise.
Yeah, that seems right.
Yeah. But yeah, I think let's call it there, and then we will come back and we'll do the next one. So thanks. Thanks for listening to this supposed to be preamble on the calendars of Dragon Age, and yet here we are.
Here we are. An hour later.
Preamble. Yeah. We did it.
We did it.
Unexpected mini, as it is expected to go. You can go to GordonHamburger.com. It's the place to go for links, words, videos. You will be able to find maps that I was referring to in the show notes of this episode. You'll also find links to our music, which is done by Nicholas Cahill. I am officially on Blue Sky, so I guess follow me on there. I think we talked about this in the last episode, but I am also now playing RuneScape. So if you want more context about what we are doing or want to hear my off-the-cuff thoughts, sometimes I will post them there. And we'll be back next week with the actual Codex entry we meant to talk about today. But, you know, sidetracked. That's what happens. I should probably load up DriveThruRPG and see if there's a Black Friday sale on some Pugmire books.
Maybe we'll do like a month of like weird anthropomorphic animal themed properties.
I'm down. I also have Animorphs as a list. So does that fall into that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. I think that counts.
All right. We'll do that.
Like an Animorphs. We could do like a Pugmire. There is a quest line in RuneScape that you are entirely unaware of that I've been dying to talk about that would fit.
Okay. We could also do the cat and lizard people from the Elder Scrolls.
Okay. Yep.
I have on multiple times loaded up a page and tried to make an episode out of the Lusty Argonian. So you know, that could happen.
Yeah, that's
That's an After Dark though. That's different.
Yeah, gotta make people pay for that one.
Yeah.